Time to level collapse. 3 days, 14 hours. Views, 1.7 trillion. Followers, 439.9 billion. Favorites, 42.4 billion.
I don't understand why she killed her daughter.
We had been returned to the safe room where Donut immediately started opening the loot boxes from the earlier battle. She received 2 trap modules from her gold sapper's box. One was called a spike module and the other an alarm module. These were ready-to-go traps, no tinkering required. We could upgrade and reconfigure them, but it required the use of our sapper's table, which wouldn't happen until the 4th floor. Despite Mukta's warning that we'd have a discussion after the show, there was no sign of the admin. The program ended, and we'd immediately transported back to the room. I still clutched the shoebox in my hands. I sighed and put it all in my inventory. I pulled out my pedicure kit and started to work on my feet, as Donut continued to talk, rapid fire. She'd been like this after the last interview, too. She got some sort of adrenaline rush from being on camera, even when the show was a disaster.
She had a pretty name, Yvette. I like that name. Did you see? She didn't want to kill people, but then her mom killed her. It's really sad, but I'm also kind of relieved, you know what I mean? Since her mom killed her, that means you didn't kill her. It would have been an accident, but still.
Aren't you tired? I was exhausted. I rubbed the bottom of my foot with the little stone thing. I could just feel the AI watching me. The recap show would air in a few hours, and I wanted to get some sleep before that. Afterward, we needed to head out. Donut plopped herself on my shoulder, settling in to sleep after I finished with my feet.
He was kind of a jerk, huh? The orc guy, I mean. But do you remember what he said? We broke the record.
Yes, Donut. I closed my eyes.
Carl.
What, Donut?
I heard what he said to you. About the 9th floor, I mean.
Don't let that idiot bother you.
No, not the orc. I mean Mordecai. When he told you that you should leave me when we get to that floor, I heard him.
Let's worry about getting to the 3rd floor before we even think about something as far away as the 9th. We don't even know what the hell that is all about.
Okay.
She finally settled next to me, and she was asleep before I was.
I'm trying to make a point here, Shrek.
Oh, it's taken you an awful long time to make it, Jack.
Point is, they might have had a shot if they'd worked together to uncover the mucus morph's weakness. Some of our viewers may know from past crawls that those pipes in the boss room were the key to victory.
Yeah, a missed opportunity for sure. Not much of a party left anymore.
Just one guy.
On the other end of the spectrum, Lucia Maher continues to single-handedly prove she's a force to be reckoned with.
They haven't mentioned us yet, but they showed those guys from Africa, Le Mouvement. They found a city boss. It was just a see-through blob the size of a house. It killed all of them. There was one guy on the outside of where they were locked in, and now he's all alone. Everyone died except him. They showed him sitting on the ground, just crying for like a minute straight. The blob looked like it was made of jello. They couldn't figure out how to hurt it. I bet fire would have worked. They didn't have much room to run around, though. The boss room was a series of tubes, like a sewer system.
Note how her shield caught the Brindle Vesper's venom attack about 2 inches from her head.
It's a useful tool, no doubt about it. But her counterattack was even better.
She smashed that bug to pieces in one blow. I know we're still in the early levels of the dungeon, but she's definitely overpowered.
Without question. She's got more advantages than a lot of other crawlers. And to Kevin's point, Her being alone isn't hindering her progress.
She's handled everything the dungeon has thrown at her so far. I just have to wonder how long her streak is gonna last.
We've seen a large group get thrashed by a city boss, bringing an end to Le Moumon, and we've watched Lucia Mar bash and smash her way through the dungeon with ease. Now we're taking you back to the royal court of Princess Donuts and Team Medalar to see how their predicaments resolve. Spoiler alert, it went off with a bang! Several of them, in fact. These crawlers showed incredible ingenuity despite limited resources. Unlike Le Moumon, who went into their city boss battle with essentially no preparation whatsoever, these two teams worked together to create an apparatus that launched bombs at the rage elemental pursuing them.
Note that despite its hodgepodge appearance, the device's construction is sound. It functioned almost exactly as its creators intended, launching these bombs at the Rage Elemental.
The bombs staggered the rampaging monster, slowing it down just enough to keep the party out of harm's way.
Even so, it didn't look promising for the crawlers until they did something quite unexpected.
Dungeon exploit. Especially on these early floors, we see a lot of that.
Some of our favorite crawlers this season are exploiting the hell out of the game so far. I won't even go into detail about Lucia Ma, but she's far from the only one taking advantage of these little blips in dungeon continuity.
I'd say this one was a pretty significant blip. By rights, everyone in both parties should be dead, shredded into ribbons, or reduced into a fine red mist by now. Instead, they're alive and well, but their trickery didn't do much more for them than keeping them alive.
Experience denied.
Hey! That wasn't fair! We would have killed it if it hadn't dissolved!
Maybe. I was suspicious about how easy it was to do damage to the elemental, considering its high level. Either my bombs were overpowered, where the monster was especially weak for its level. I suspected there was something else we were missing. The monster probably split in two or blew up on death or something equally horrible. It was almost as if the game was daring us to summon another one and try to kill it fair and square this time. We'd probably rock it up a dozen levels if we managed it. I could already think of a dozen ways to summon one and have something waiting for it, something that'd kill it for sure. Once you knew how the monster worked, it wasn't so difficult. It had to be a trap.
That about wraps it up for this episode of Dungeon Crawler World. As always, special thanks to my co-hosts, Shrek and Jegbarth. And thank you for watching. I leave you with this lovely gesture from Team Meadowlark.
The show ended with Imani pausing at the scorched entrance to the third floor. She looked up into the air and raised a middle finger before going inside. When the show ended, I suddenly felt very alone. The feeling came out of nowhere. And I thought of that last member of Le Mouvement, of being locked outside the boss area, only to find everyone he knew was just gone. What a nightmare. I looked up at the ticker. 990,303. We'd gone below 1,000,000, and I hadn't noticed. For every person that ticked away, I felt I was losing a part of myself, a part of my humanity. I thought of what Donut had said before we'd fallen asleep, and of the unspoken question she had asked, and of the answer I hadn't given her.
Hello, crawlers! Keep up the good work! Everything is running smoothly. Now that we've reached the halfway point of the level, game guides are now available to instruct you upon some of the intricacies regarding the third floor and how the race and class selection process works. Be sure to visit your game guide prior to descending in order to make the transition more smooth. Effective immediately, any non-sapient mobs who happen upon a stairwell will not be disintegrated. Yes, we all just watched that rule get exploited on the recap episode. It was very clever and very exciting, but it's not going to happen again. The system AI has determined the proliferation of the brindled Vespas is too aggressive, and we have halved the number of these mobs currently in the dungeon. In addition, the damage from their spitting acid attack has been adjusted down. Slightly. Please note, new brindle grubs will continue to generate upon the creation of a corpse. Please note, new brindle grubs will continue to generate upon the creation of a corpse, but each one now only has a 50% chance to proceed to the pupa stage. Now go out there and kill, kill, kill!
Admin notice. A new tab is available in your interface.
I blinked. That was unexpected. I opened up my interface, and indeed, there was a new section. Accounts. There was only one item. Creator's fee. Carl's Jugaboom. Royalty? 1 gold coin per kill. Current kills? 4. There was a button. Cash out now. Below that was a very small line that I could barely read. There was no way to zoom in. I had to squint to read it. Count updates once daily. 2 gold coins plus 25% deposit fee. Rounded up. Deducted upon cash out. Funds not deposited are subject to forfeiture upon death.
25%? Highway robbery.
If I cashed out now, I'd only receive a single gold coin. If I'd had 5 coins, I'd still only receive 1 coin because they rounded the fee up.
What? That's nothing. I'll explain later. Let's get going.
Are we running? Is that what we're doing? Hiding from Frank Q and Maggie Mai?
No. That was my first instinct, but now that I've slept on it, I've changed my mind. That woman is hell-bent on hunting us down, and we're going to have to deal with it sooner rather than later. I don't know if they're coming now or not. I'd much rather be ready for her than have her sneak up behind us.
But how can we do that? They can track us and go invisible, and we can't do either of those.
Her invisibility is not nearly as powerful as I first thought. We'll need to take out the local neighborhood boss and get that map. It'll make our lives much easier.
Warning. You may not wield your weapons while in the presence of admins. Any attempted violence against an admin will result in your immediate execution.
Ah, shit. Mukta's coming.
Water splashed over my feet, and a familiar, armored Kuateen appeared. My interface snapped off.
Zev! Where were you? I was worried.
Hello, Carl. Hello, Princess Donut. I'm here for your show debriefing.
Are you okay?
Yes, thank you. I was censured by the system AI. I was given a suspension because the system determined that I had cheated by warning you of the Rage Elemental before it appeared. My representative appealed the decision on my behalf, and upon further review, it was determined that you'd noticed the man urinating simultaneously with my exclamation, so the censure was removed from my record. But even though my record is technically clean, it's not really. Once the AI notices you, it's difficult to get it to unnotice you, so I have to be extra careful from now on.
Are we in trouble? That orc guy was really mean to Carl.
No. It was improper for you to attempt to disengage from the interview, but the Borant Corporation wishes to commend you for showing proper respect to the organization. They're actually quite pleased with you right now.
Commend us? Really? Proper respect? The thought of giving respect to anything Borant did made me sick. Anyone who mistook fear for respect was a fool.
The politics regarding all of this is too complicated to even begin to explain. However, that particular production, while technically private, is owned and operated by a prince of a faction that is allied with another faction that is at odds with the Borant system. All of it would make your head spin if I were to explain it to you.
If you don't like those guys, then why did you let them interview us? That show is awful, Zev. It's
almost as cruel as the game itself, I almost said.
It's abusive.
Yes, and I would like to apologize. Mukta should have never booked it. The show I had scheduled also caters to the younger crowd, but it would be a discussion regarding specific tactics you use in the dungeon. They do it in a creative, silly way. But to answer your question, Borant is not allowed to discriminate against Syndicate member production companies, especially when said companies are tied to production sponsors. This is monitored very closely by the AI. Anything to do with money is watched carefully, especially this season.
So that maestro asshole is a prince? No wonder he's such a cheese dick. I didn't realize he was royalty. I assumed the show didn't have very much money.
He is a prince, but that production is owned by his older brother, Crown Prince Stalwart. I think their father gives them a small stipend to make the show, probably to keep him busy.
And I thought of that voice that had threatened us when we'd attempted to bail. If that was him, he seemed just as much of a douche as his younger brother.
Prince Stalwart? That name is almost as bad as the Maestro.
They're orcs. Everything they do is mawkish.
I had no idea what the word mawkish meant, but I assumed it translated to cheesy.
So, these guys are different than the Tusklings? I know they are obviously a different race, but I thought the Tusklings were the rulers of all the orcs.
The Tusklings are the rulers of the orcish supremacy. Stalwart and the Maestro are princes of the Skull Empire. That's a whole different system. If the orcish supremacy is a child with a lemonade stand, the Skull Empire is the Walmart Corporation. It's one of the largest and oldest syndicate governments.
Yeah, he'd said something about creating the Crawl.
I glanced down at Donut.
He also talked a bit about the Ninth Floor. How he's going to be there.
Sorry, I can't really discuss that yet. Mordecai is now authorized to tell you about the Third Floor, but that's it.
Is there anything you can tell us?
What I can say is that every three floors are the same setting. Sort of. The Third, Sixth, Ninth, and so forth are all linked in a way that will later become clear.
I thought about what Mordecai had whispered to me earlier. That Borant was trying to end the game as soon as possible.
What if all the crawlers die before the Ninth Floor even starts?
That probably isn't going to happen. It's starting to look like we'll get there much faster than usual. But we've never had a full player extinction before the Ninth Floor. It happens on the Ninth Floor a lot, but not before it. Again, I can't tell you much, but those floors, 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, and 18, all come into existence at the same time. You can only visit them in context with the rest of the Crawl, but that doesn't mean they're not being utilized. Whatever happens on the 9th and 12th floors happens with or without the crawlers. It's a game within the game where you are not the main focus, at least not until you get there. Sorry, that's all I can say.
Okay. I was just wondering. I'm not going to worry about it until we get there, I guess.
That's the spirit. Now, we need to talk about the next couple of days. I was just brainstorming with my team, and we agree that you two need to concentrate on building up your character. You're already in a good position, but a couple extra levels would really help you out. Now that the Metalark storyline is completed, we can wait a day or two before really focusing on the next story arc.
Story arc? Really?
How is this thing with Maggie and Frank going over?
It has potential, but it's already tired. Those two have a good amount of followers, especially after last night, but not too many people think they're going to survive long enough for that Maggie lady to make good in her threat. She's not very charismatic, and she's acting more and more irrationally. This gripe you have with Prince Maestro is getting much more attention, especially with that pork boy snick that just showed up. 2 hours old, and it's already trending all over the social media tunnels. But, like we've already discussed, that whole story won't bear fruit until much later. We feel you could get away with coasting for a few days until you hit the next floor down, but once you do hit the Overcity, you really need to focus on something compelling. Just train and try not to be too boring. Maybe take out a boss or two. And don't pick anything weird during race selection.
Back up. What the hell is a pork boy snick?
I need to tell you about this. So you have had a similar phenomenon on Earth. Are you familiar with the concept of fan fiction?
Wait, what's that?
Oh my god, Donut, you would love it! There was this whole website, and it was filled with stories about Gossip Girl! But it was written by people like you and me! Actual fans, not the writers! So the stories aren't real, or canon, they called it. But some were great! I tried writing one once, but it didn't get many views.
That sounds like the greatest thing in the world. You can make it so the show never ends. Wait, people are writing stories about us. Me and Carl.
Yeah, so a snick is kind of like a fanfiction, but it's a video. So it's like a fanfiction movie. You can experience the scene from any of the characters' point of view, or you could just watch it. This particular video is short and a little... what is the word? Explicit?
What was in the video? What do you mean by explicit? Was I in it?
No, just Carl. Carl and the Maestro. And let's just say Carl has the upper hand during the scene.
I tried to think of something to say, but I couldn't think of anything.
Who made it?
So, that's the interesting part. It's a bit of a mystery. It showed up just a few hours after your interview. Nobody knows where it came from, but it went very viral, very fast. The quality is flawless. In fact, it came out so fast, some people think it's real. It's not. Right?
Are you asking me if I fucked the orc?
Wait! It's a sex tape? With Carl and Maestro?
Jesus.
What the fuck? And I thought it was going to be a bog witch that finally stole his heart.
It is a little funny, but the Skull Empire probably isn't going to find it amusing. They haven't reacted yet, at least not officially. They're not known for their measured responses to insults.
Is it an insult, though? I'm not gay, but does it matter? The Tusklings seem to be very open with, you know, weird stuff. Do people really care?
It's not that. You're right, most wouldn't care. But this is a prince of the Skull Empire, and that video is both graphic and humiliating. You two say things to each other.
Can we watch it? I want to watch it.
That sort of thing has to happen all the time. That prince is such a cockwomble, I can't imagine the intergalactic internet isn't filled with stuff like that.
Oh, it is. This is different. The quality is so good, and it is just everywhere right now. Everyone is calling the prince Pork Boy and, Carl's Naughty Little Piggy. You have to watch the video. Anyway, if the Skull Empire demands people stop calling him that, it's just going to be like the Mudskipper thing all over again. In the past hour, your appearance fee has doubled. You're now equal with Lucia Marr. The fact that this has happened at the expense of the Skull Empire has made the party very happy with you.
Oh, shit. The last thing we need is some giant sponsor gunning for us. Any interview we do, they're just going to ask me about it. And I can tell you right now, there's nothing I'm willing to say to make these assholes hate me less.
There's no such thing as bad publicity. Boren's official stance on this is that as long as you do not disparage the company, the party, or the syndicate itself, any opinion you air about other governments will not be met with any sort of punitive action. Besides, there's not much the other governments can do to you. Not until the sixth floor. Or if they sprang for a deity sponsorship this season. But anyway, don't worry about anything happening outside your floor. That's my job. Now I gotta get going. Your next scheduled appearance is on the Odette Show. In the meantime, I'll be available on chat. Bye to both of you.
I'm glad she's okay. I feel bad we got her in trouble.
I barely heard her. I couldn't stop thinking about that video. This Skull Empire government had to know how much of an asshole that prince was. Plus, they couldn't blame me for something I didn't make. Could they? My HUD snapped back on. The first thing I noticed was that my followers had increased significantly in the past hour. With the combination of the recap episode and this stupid video, that feeling of loneliness I'd felt earlier was all but gone. I now felt like a bug under a microscope. I wondered how many people really thought that the SNCC was real. I always wondered that about conspiracy theorists. I always suspected most of them were just trolling. Surely the real number couldn't be very many.
Carl, darling, I can't believe you hooked up with that guy!
Donut pushed at the door, heading out of the room.
He sure squealed a lot, though.
God damn it, Donut.